আলহামদুলিল্লাহি রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়া সসালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিল মুরসালিন আম্মা বা'দ ফাআউযু বিল্লাহি মিনাশ শাইতানির রাজীম বিসমিল্লাহির রহমানির রহিম ওয়া সসালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলাইকা ইয়া রাসূলুল্লাহ ওয়া সসালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলাইকা ইয়া হাবিবাল্লাহ ওয়া সসালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলাইকা ইয়া নবিয়াল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া আসহাবিকা ইয়া নূরাল্লাহ Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom. And we hope and pray that you and your families are doing well and are keeping in the best of health, inshallah. You and I should show shukr, thanks, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember that no matter what state you may be in, what circumstances you may be in, always say Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. And by doing that, you will see much, much barakah, blessings and prosperity in this life, in the qabr, and in the hereafter as well, inshallah. Well, for today, dear viewers of Madani channel, we do have a very beautiful, thought-provoking topic of discussion. And that is the world and our purpose. Yes, we are going to be mentioning different aspects in relation to this. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the closest person to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. So let us all collectively, with full of love on this beautiful day, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, dear viewers of Madani channel, you and I, we are in this world, we are in this dunya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you and I by being in the ummah of his beloved habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and granting us a very great treasure, a very great wealth which money cannot buy. Rather, it is bestowed upon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the wealth and treasure of Iman. So when we really look at it, you know, you and I are in this dunya, are in this world, and we see beautiful places, we see beautiful sceneries, beautiful palaces, etc. And at times a person may get drowned in the love of this world. And that, what impact does that have? It actually makes a person somewhat heedless of the hereafter, heedless of the qabr. That, you know, this world, it is temporary, it is going to come to an end. The sun that we see, the moon that we see, the stars, the oceans, the mountains, this entire dunya, this entire world, if it's of Madani channel, it is going to come to an end. So us being here, you and I, being on this planet Earth, what is our purpose? And for this, we ask, we go towards the Holy Quran, and we see in the Holy Quran, the Quran teaches us that mankind and jinnat have not been created except for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is our main purpose in this world, dear viewers of Madani channel. And today, you know, much of the ummah is deprived of loving Islam truly because of what? Because of attaching too much importance to the world. You know, a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the summary of this hadith is that when my ummah considers the world to be something great, something big, they will lose the awe of Islam. And when they give up commanding good and preventing evil, they will be deprived of the blessings of revelation. And when they make use of abusive language towards one another, then what will happen? Then it will lose esteem. They will lose esteem in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as mentioned in this hadith, the ummah will lose true awe and respect of Islam when they begin what? When they begin giving importance to the world and considering the world to be something great, you know, that is something actually very, very bad. And subhanAllah, there are so many things that can be said to use of Madani Channel regarding this dunya, regarding this world. The Quran teaches us about this world. And in the Quran, we see when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the life of this world is nothing except an amusement and game. And undoubtedly, the house of the hereafter is better for those who fear. So do you not have sense? And under the tafsir of this ayah, it's mentioned by Allama Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah in Khazainul Irfan, that pious deeds and acts of worship, though performed by Muslims in the world, they are considered to be acts of the hereafter. Now, this also shows that everything in the world is play and amusement, except for the deeds of the pious. This is the understanding that we gain, that we get. And one may also ask, one may ponder, that what is the meaning of the word dunya, meaning the world? The word dunya, it literally, it means closeness, right? That is to say that it is called this because it is closer to human beings compared to the hereafter. Or alternatively, it's closer to the heart because of its desires and pleasures. And another meaning of the term dunya, of the world, is that before the abode of the afterlife, all creation is referred to as the world. So gold, silver, and everything, whether essential or inessential, are included in this definition of the world. Now you and I, we are understanding the depths of the dunya, of the world, right? And there are three categories of worldly things. The first are those worldly things that remain with a person in the hereafter and benefit him even after his death. And only two things fall under this category. That is one's knowledge and your deeds. And the latter, it entails worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas, with sincerity. Now this category of the world is praiseworthy. Yes, and it is the most excellent. Then we go into the second category. And the second category, it entails that whose effect or benefit is limited to this world and offers no help, no aid whatsoever in the hereafter. For example, attaining pleasures from sins or gaining benefit from permissible things like land, property, gold, silver, good clothing, delicious foods, to an extent which surpasses one's needs. Now, this is disliked and it's a condemnable form of the world. And now we go on to the third category. And this consists of things which assist in performing good deeds, such as, you know, essential food, your clothing, etc. This is also an excellent category, but it will become disliked if it is aimed at deriving immediate benefit and pleasure from the world. Allahu Akbar. Now, if we have to ask, right, which worldly deeds can be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we see that these also consists of three categories. One is, some are deeds that one cannot even think of for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, impermissible and haram deeds. And the second, some are deeds that may or may not be performed for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, contemplation and staying away from desires. And if anyone contemplates over anything aiming for popularity, name, fame, or respect amongst people, or gives up desires to save money or to remain healthy, these deeds will not be considered to have been performed for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third, some deeds, although outwardly appearing that they were done for the nafs, carnal self, but are actually done with the intention of gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as eating food and getting married, etc. Now, when a person uses anything from the world for the benefit of his afterlife, he cannot be called and he will not be called a worldly person. But rather, the world will serve as a farm for his afterlife. But however, if he earns worldly things to satisfy his desires and indulge in pleasure, then now he will be considered as a worldly person. And nothing, you know, if you really look at it, and if you really think about it, that nothing in this world contains real pleasure. You know, commonly, people attribute pleasure and delight to whatever brings an end to troubles. For example, food. You eat food, right? Food is considered to be a means of deriving pleasure. Why? Because it removes the pangs of hunger. And this is why the eating person does not find pleasure after his appetite has been satisfied. Likewise, we see water is considered pleasing. Why? Because it quenches your thirst. A person drinking water no longer feels its delight after his thirst is quenched. So ultimately, real pleasure, delight, and satisfaction will be gained in Jannah, in paradise, because those paradise dwellers will not have any trouble. When there is no trouble in paradise, there will also be nothing which serves to remove it. You know, for example, foods and drinks, beverages will be given to Jannatis to give them true pleasure, not to remove trouble, because there will be no trouble in paradise. You know, there is a very beautiful narration in which Sayyidina Ali Khawas rahimahullah, he has stated that the world, this dunya, this world is a daughter of Iblis, of Shaitan. Anyone who loves the world is the husband of Shaitan's daughter. And Shaitan continues to come and meet the worldly person because of this relation with his daughter. So, dear viewers of Mother Nature, if you want to remain safe, we want to remain safe from Shaitan, do not establish a relation with his daughter, meaning this dunya, this world. Likewise, we see that Sayyidina Fudil bin Iyad rahimahullah, he has stated that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that on the day of Qiyamah, an extremely ugly blue-eyed old woman will appear in front of people with her teeth protruding forward, right? And they will be asked, all the people over there, on the day of Qiyamah, they will be asked, do you know her? And the people, they will reply, they will say, we seek refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from recognizing her. And then they will be told that this is the very same world you were proud of. You broke off ties of relationship because of it. You had jealousy, you had enmity towards one another because of the same world. Then the world now in the form of the old woman will be thrown into hell, into Jahannam. And she will call out, oh my Rabb, oh my Creator, where are my followers and my congregation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, bring all of them together with her. Allahu Akbar. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the world is sweet and lush. Whoever earns wealth within it in a halal way and spends it upon that which is rightful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him thawab, will grant him reward, and will make him enter Jannah. And whoever earns wealth within it in a haram way and spends it upon unlawful things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him enter Darul Hawan. And that is the home of humiliation. Now, under this hadith, it's mentioned in Faith al-Qadir that this highlights the fact that the world is not intrinsically bad. As it is a farm, it's a farm, a tillage for the hereafter. And anyone who attains something worldly with permission from the Sharia will be helped by that thing in his afterlife. Yes. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the world and everything in it is cursed. The world and everything in it is cursed except for enjoining good, preventing evil, and making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's mentioned also in Faith al-Qadir under this hadith that these deeds, you know, enjoining good, preventing evil, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are indeed performed in the world, but they are not considered to be the deeds of the world. In fact, these are the deeds of the hereafter, of the afterlife, and a means of gaining the blessings of Jannah. So everything aimed at gaining divine pleasure is exempt from this curse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has said that the world and everything in it is accursed except for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which draws a servant close to his Rabb and the scholar and seeker of knowledge. Under this hadith, it's mentioned by Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah. He comments on this hadith. He says that anything which causes a person to become heedless of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is included when defining the world in this regard, right? Alternatively, anything which leads to the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described as the world. Now, raising children, consuming food, attire, having a home, etc., are what? Are the sunnah of the noble prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. These acts are not included in this definition. You know, this world views of Madani channel, it's more insignificant than the wing of a mosquito. Yeah, the world is extremely lowly and inferior, yet to us it may seem as everything. You know, beautiful streams, waterfalls and whatnot you may see, but this world is extremely, extremely lowly and inferior. And assuming it to be important, that is actually not wise at all, as it is more insignificant than the wing of a mosquito. You know, and in a hadith it's mentioned that if the value of the world were equal to a mosquito's wing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would not give a sip of water to the disbelievers. Allahu Akbar. The world is disgraced. And, you know, hence has been given to the disgraced. Allah Ta'ala has not mercifully looked at it ever since He created it. And the world, do you know where it is suspended? The world is suspended between the sky and the earth. It cries and it says that, oh my Rabb, why are you displeased with me? After a long period of time, Allah Ta'ala says that silence, O vile one. And Imam Ahmad Radha Khan rahimahullah, he said that gold and silver are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever loved gold and silver will be addressed in this way on the day of Qiyamah, that we are those who love the enemy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps His beloved bondsman away from the world, just as without comparison, bila tashbih, a mother keeps her ill child away from harmful things. And that is why in the Holy Quran it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. And man supplicates for evil like the way He seeks goodness. And man is very hasty. You know, mankind asks for evil as if he is asking for good. Allah Ta'ala knows how much harm is in what he asks for. A person may make dua, but Allah Ta'ala does not give to him what he asks. Why? In order to save him from harm. Look at the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Likewise, in the Holy Quran, it's mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. That, oh listener, do not let the free movements of the disbelievers in the cities deceive you. It is a brief enjoyment for the disbelievers. Their abode is hell, and what an evil abode. So, viewers of Madani Channel, remove this evil thought from your mind that we have been deprived of worldly luxuries because of being Muslims. Whereas the non-Muslims, they are enjoying, you see them enjoying prosperity and affluence in the world, name, fame, everything, they have it. We need to have firm belief that there are eternal blessings in Jannah for Muslims, for believers, while there is no comfort for the non-Muslims after death. For them is a blazing fire in the hereafter and never ceasing torment, punishment in Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. You know, in the Holy Quran, it is mentioned, and the translation of it is, and if it was not so that all mankind would be on one religion of disbelievers and desiring worldly life only, we would have surely made for the disbelievers the roofs of silver and stairs whereon they go up, and doors of silver for their houses, and couches of silver upon which they would recline, and various adornments. And all this is provision only of the life of this world. And the hereafter with your Rabb is for who? Is for the pious ones. Allahu Akbar. You know, on this word muttaqeen, meaning the pious, mentioned in this verse, it's Allama Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah, he stated that the pious are those who have no desire for the world. And in a hadith, it's mentioned that if the importance of the world were equal to even a mosquito's wing, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not give even a sip of water to the disbelievers. Another hadith, you know, it details how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once with his companions, right? Alayhi muridwan. And he came across a dead goat on the way. And then he explained that, can you see? Its owners have thrown it away without any care. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this world is not even as important as this dead goat is to its owners. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows grace upon any of his servants, he protects them from the world as you protect your ill from water. And another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the world is a prison for the Muslims and paradise for the disbelievers. Allahu Akbar. This is something for you and I to think about, viewers of Madani Channel, for us not to have love for the world in our hearts. Yes, we are in this dunya. Yes, we need money. Yes, we need to live. Yes, we need a vehicle. Yes, we need all of this. These are the necessities of life. But together with having all of that, don't fall into the trap of being drowned in the love of this world to such an extent where you become heedless of the hereafter. And then when you love this world so much, you end up being greedy. You hoard and hoard and hoard. You accumulate. You don't even want to spend even a tenner. And you may be sitting with millions. You may be sitting with thousands. And you find it so hard to take out a 100 rand or a 10 rand or a 1 rand and give it as sadaqah. Look at Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. if we have to compare in today's time, he was actually a multi-millionaire, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why he got this title Al-Ghani, the super rich, a multi-millionaire. But when we read his biography, when we read his seerah, we see that a man comes to him to his house and he has some need that he needs to complete. He has some need to be fulfilled. What does Sayyidina Uthman Al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu do? He tells him that, come, this box that I have, this chest that I have, open it. He opens it for him. And there's wealth inside there. There's money inside there. He tells the man that take how much you want. Take how much you want and go sort yourself out. This man, and he takes what he needs. Look at the generosity of Sayyidina Uthman Al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is how you must be when Allah Ta'ala blesses you with wealth. When Allah Ta'ala blesses you with an abundance of wealth and money, spend for the sake of Allah. Spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you spend in His way, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you more, will increase for you, will grant you barakah in your wealth. So don't be greedy. Don't hoard. Don't accumulate. Spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because greed is actually something that destroys a person. Greed is something that can destroy your iman. You know, in the previous nations, there was a man, a person by the name of Bal'am bin Ba'ura in Bani Israel. And he was such a person. So he was so pious, right? Whatever du'as he would make, it would be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one day what happened was, some people came to him, they told him, "Oh Bal'am, make dua against Musa alayhi salam." He said, "No, how can I make dua against a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" So he declined. Second time they came, he said no. Third time they came to him, but with a different approach. And the approach was, they had silver, they had gold, they had treasures, they had wealth, money, whatever it was, they laid it in front of him. And they told him, "Oh Bal'am, make dua against Musa alayhi salam, and all that you see here, all is for you." Bal'am bin Ba'ura, who was once a pious individual, whose duas would be accepted, he got so blinded by the wealth of this world that he accepted it and he went on to make dua against a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. When that happened, Allah Ta'ala made it such that whatever dua he was saying against Musa alayhi salam, those same words were coming back against him. And Allah Ta'ala punished him in such a way that his tongue came out and it was hanging right up until his chest. And it's mentioned that Bal'am bin Ba'ura will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam in the shape and form of a dog. Which dog? The dog from Ashabul Kahf. Yes. And the dog of Ashabul Kahf will be admitted into Jannah in the form and shape of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. Look at the power and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows us, dear viewers of Madinah in general, that having love for this world leads to greed, and greed leads to destruction of our iman. Destruction in this world and in the hereafter. So we need to avoid having love for this world. You know, in one narration it's mentioned that having love for this world is the root of all evils. Yes. And now, there's a very beautiful story, right? In the one of the previous eras, a Muslim and a non-Muslim, they once went to catch some fish. So the non-Muslim mentioned the names of his false gods, and he continued to catch fish until there was a heap of them. And the Muslim man, he cast his fishing net many, many times. Mentioning what? Mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But guess what? He remained empty-handed. And by evening, he only caught one small fish. But that too, that fish jumped back into the water. So the Muslim, he returned empty-handed. But the non-Muslim, he returned with his basket full of fish. So an angel appointed to the Muslim began to feel sorry for him, began to feel pity for him. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the palace and grand status of the Muslims in Jannah, in paradise, by Allah, that angel spontaneously proclaimed, after this Muslim fisherman enters the splendid palace, he will not care at all about the trouble of not catching fish. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the angel the abode of the non-Muslim in Jahannam, the angel said, by Allah, after this non-Muslim reaches this place of torment and punishment, he will not be benefited at all by the temporary worldly happiness of gaining heaps of fish. So yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, one can learn, you know, from this story, you and I, we can learn a lot, that the advancement of the non-Muslims in this world and attaining of wealth in abundance are not worth envying. You know, the poor, destitute and the distressed Muslims, they will be actually overjoyed on the day of Qiyamah. So if a pious Muslim is unable to gain what he desires, he shouldn't lose hope, he shouldn't lose heart, because the satisfaction of every desire of those who do not offer salah and are drowned and engulfed in sins is not proof of goodness. Instead, it is actually an alarm bell ringing for them. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said so beautifully that when you see that Allah ta'ala gives those things to the sinful bondman that he likes, then this is respite from him, azza wa jalla. And every act, you know, there is wisdom in immediate punishment. Every act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hikmah, has wisdom. And we can earn so much of reward by having patience with poverty and with any other type of worldly difficulties. Because difficulties and adversities, they are a means of sins being removed, blessing that suffering person with more higher and higher ranks. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when Allah ta'ala intends goodness for a servant, Allah ta'ala immediately punished them for their sin in the world. Allahu Akbar. And that is why Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi, rahimahullah, he has said so beautifully, it's in Farsi, it's in the Persian language, but I will translate it into English, inshallah. He says that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well as the humiliated world. This idea of yours is nothing but insanity and impossibility. Allahu Akbar. That is profound, the views of Madani Channel. If you really, really have to think about it. Now, Sayyidina Salim bin Mansur, rahimahullah, he said that, I saw my deceased father in a dream and I asked him, ma fa'ala Allahu bika? That how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treat you? And he said that Allah ta'ala bestowed grace and mercy upon him and said that, oh non-practicing old man, do you know why I have forgiven you? He says, I humbly replied that, oh my creator, oh my Rabb, no, I don't know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said that once you delivered a heart-touching, a heartfelt speech in a gathering, and you made the attendees, you made them cry, one such servant of mine who had never wept, who never cried in my fear, was also present during that speech. And listening to your speech, he also began to cry. So having mercy on that crying man, I forgave him and all other attendees of the gathering. And this is why you have also been forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We make this dua because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him and forgive you and I, forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. So the viewers of Madani Channel, now undoubtedly, there is a very, very high rank of those preachers who deliver heart-touching speeches. You know, bringing such people to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had moved away from it. You know, indeed, the fortunate Islamic brothers promoting the call to righteousness sincerely with good niyyah, with good intentions, they are successful in the worldly life as well as in the hereafter. You know, this parable, this incident of that person being forgiven that we have just heard, it shows that one who cries in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately attains his goal. You know, they say that real men don't cry. But real men, they do cry. And they cry not for any petty issues, not for any small trivial issues. They cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are real men who cry out of the fear of their Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, shedding tears and remaining fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a great honor. And those who shed these valuable tears are a cause of blessings for those who do not. So yes, whenever you listen to a speech or you are in a gathering and the Na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is playing or being recited, you hear a lecture, cry in the fear of Allah Ta'ala. When you are making dua, cry in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you can't cry, make your face as if you are crying. And these are rewardable, yes. So all of those dear viewers of Madani channel, we come to understand and realize that you and I showing importance and giving priority to this world, it is not going to benefit us. It's not going to make us progress in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter. No, it's even said that the more you chase after this world, the more you run after it, behind the money, behind the dollars and the pounds and the wealth, the more the world runs away from you. And then your whole life you spend just chasing and chasing and chasing. And on the other hand, when you run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you get more closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this entire dunya, the entire world comes right at your feet. Whatever you want, it comes right to you. Why? Because you have submitted yourself to your Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the prophets alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, the Ahlul Bayt, our pious predecessors, the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never run after this world. They never chase after it. Rather, they all sought the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through that, the entire dunya, the entire world came to their feet. So yes, devotees of Mother Nation, always keep this in mind. Well, for now, we do have a very beautiful, melodious, rejuvenating kalam. So let us go and listen to this beautiful kalam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much more, inshallah. You know, listening to the na'ats and kalams in the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it rejuvenates our hearts, minds, bodies and soul. So let us go and listen to this kalam. And thereafter, we will be back. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear Islami bhaiyon aur Madani channel ke nazreen, الحمدللہ عزوجل بچپن میں جو مجھے یاد پڑتا ہے زندگی میں سب سے پہلے اگر میں نے کوئی نعت پڑھی تھی تو وہ یہی نعت تھی جو آج میں آپ کے سامنے ایک بار پھر پیش کر رہا ہوں
کس طرح پاؤں رکھے یا صاحب بصیرت کس طرح پاؤں رکھے یا صاحب بصیرت آنکھیں بچھی ہوئی ہیں ہر جہاں تیری گلی میں دنیا تیری گلی میں عقبا تیری گلی میں عقبا تیری گلی میں
بابا کہاں چلے
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
چلا ہوں ایک مجرم تجربہ چلا ہوں ایک مجرم کی طرح میں جانب توبہ نظر شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ نظر شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں مدینے جا کہ ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
بصارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے بسارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے. مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ نادیدہ, مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ نادیدہ.
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ نندیدہ, جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ.
وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر, وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر, فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ رنجیدہ. فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ رنجیدہ.
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ نندیدہ, جبھی افسردہ افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ لغزیدہ.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ, truly rejuvenating kalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for the beloved Habib صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. آمین یا رب العالمین. الحمدللہ. Coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing the world and our purpose, and alhamdulillah we have discussed many different aspects and perspectives in this regard, how we should not have love for this world, how having love for this world is the root of all evils. And we have mentioned also that greed is something that is very bad, that can destroy your iman. If you want to be greedy, then be greedy for good deeds. Be greedy to do more and more good deeds. This is actually a very good type of greed. And speaking of greed, you know, there's a very beautiful story and many lessons to be taken from it. There was an individual, a person by the name of Thalaba, and he requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for him to become wealthy, to become rich. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew the knowledge of the unseen granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. So he told him that, "Oh Thalaba, a little wealth you can give thanks for is better than a great amount for which you cannot." So Thalaba, he came again in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and made the same request. And then he said, "I take oath by he who sent you as a true prophet. If he grants me wealth, I will give everyone their due right." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. And Allah Ta'ala blessed his sheep in so much that the city could not accommodate all of them. So what Thalaba did, he took them with him to the wilderness. He left Medina entirely, and this resulted in him missing out on attending the congregational salah and Jum'ah salah as well. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he inquired about him, and the companions alayhim ridwan, they replied that his wealth had increased a lot, so much so that even the desert was not large enough to hold it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then expressed his disappointment regarding Thalaba. Later on, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent some individuals to collect zakat, so people, they happily paid it. Yet when Thalaba was approached, he responded by saying that this was a tax and he would think about it first. So when those individuals came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he expressed disappointment at Thalaba twice before they even said anything. And then the ayah was revealed in which the translation is, and among them, there are some who have made a pledge with Allah. If He grants us from His grace, then we will most certainly give charity. And we will most definitely be among the righteous. So, when He granted them from His grace, they were miserly with it. And they withdrew, turning their faces away. Now, Thalaba, he then eventually arrived with his charity, to which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah ta'ala forbids me from accepting this. Thalaba, he returned disgraced. His wealth was then brought to the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And during his Khilafat, it was brought and it was rejected. Then it was again brought forth during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the result was the same, and it was turned away. And Thalaba eventually died during the caliphate of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Akbar. So yes, the viewers of Madani channel, we can see from this incident, from this story, how detrimental it is to have greed. How detrimental it is to have love for this world. Thalaba, he was granted what he wanted. But what happened to him at the end? He became disgraced. He did not even want to spend a small amount. He didn't want to give zakat, thinking that he's going to reduce. Allahu Akbar. So from this we learn that when you are blessed with wealth, spend. You know, it doesn't mean that you have little, that you don't have nothing. No, you have little. That is what Allah Ta'ala has prescribed for you, has decreed for you. Be content with that, because you actually have the ability to show thanks for it. And this is exactly what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Thalaba, that the little that you have is easier for you to be thankful for than more. And do you know that the poor and the destitute, they will enter paradise, enter Jannah 500 years before the rich. The more wealth you have, the more accountability there is. The less wealth you have, the less accountability there is. You know, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once in the shade of the Kaaba when he went to him. And when his gaze, when his sight came upon me, upon Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I heard him then declare that those are steepest in loss. I take oath by the Rabb of the Kaaba. So he says that I proceeded to sit near him as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated this many, many times over. So I stood up and asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Who are these people that you mentioned? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said that they shall be affluent and wealthy individuals, but not including those who spend profusely in noble causes. Their number shall be few. And whoever owns a camel, cow, or sheep and does not pay their zakat, that animal will come forth larger and healthy on the day of Qiyamah and proceed to gore their owner. How? Using their horns and trample with their hooves. And this will continue until the accountability of people concludes. Allahu Akbar. You know, some people are deceived into thinking, regardless of how engaged they are in worldly matters, their heart will not be attached to it. This is a trick and a trap of shaitan. How is it possible for someone to dive into a river and not become wet. So the likeness of this world is like salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you will feel. And thinking that worldly riches will bring happiness is foolishness. For how can there be happiness in a place you are not going to stay in forever? You want happiness? Happiness is not found in having a lot of wealth. Ask those people who are rich. Ask those who are multimillionaires if they can sleep peacefully at night, if they can go to bed without any stress. Ask them if they can go to bed without taking any pills in order to sleep at night. You, having little wealth and having a peaceful sleep, having a united family, eating together, drinking together, playing together, that is richness. That is happiness right there. That even wealth and money cannot even buy. That is where true happiness lies. In you and I being content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you and I. Allahu Akbar. So yes, viewers of Madani Channel, these are accounts, incidents, in order for you and I to take a lesson from. And make sure always that your wealth, your earning is halal, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is accountability for its halal and punishment for its haram. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned a punishment upon the halal of the world, albeit, you know, less in comparison to the punishment for haram. Even without facing accountability, missing out on the high ranks of Jannah and feeling grief for this lowly temporary world is also punishment. You know, as you are in this world right now, take a moment to reflect on the on when you see people ahead of you in worldly matters, right? How much sadness develops in your heart, despite knowing that these are temporary, meaningless, and impure privileges. They have not an atom of purity in them. In contrast, how much sorrow should be felt at missing out on privileges so they cannot be described. Centuries have passed, but these remain standing. And to conclude, answering questions on the day of Qiyamah entails waiting, humiliation, fear, risk, and difficulty. All these are a cause for loss in the hereafter. Whether one has a little of the world or a lot, be it halal or haram, it is accursed if it does not revolve around piety. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophets alayhi wassalatu wasalam the awliya, and those after who were close to him faced trials of so many degrees. And all of this is a form of goodness bestowed upon them. Why? So that they receive a great share and reward of the hereafter. So yes, viewers of Madani Channel, do not love this world. Do not be drowned in the love of this world. Be in this world as you are a traveler, as you are a musafir. You are only journeying along this world towards the everlasting hereafter. Prepare for that. Cultivate here for the hereafter. So until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom. Treasures of wisdom.